Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I have to give Tiki Barber an immense amount of credit. It was about 4 weeks ago. I was doing what I normally do at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was watching 90210 because I've been on this binge of the great Beverly Hills 90210. What a freaking show. Someone should come up like a reimagined season 5 through 10, like if Brenda never left. Like, what would they have done? It's crazy to think about. Like, does Val still show up? Like, what happens? But as I'm watching 90210 about 5 weeks ago, I kept getting spammed for an ad, and it was this Broadway show. And I'm like, all right, they've spammed me with this. They've shown me this commercial 100 times. Color me intrigued. So I looked at the ad for it. I did more research on it, and it was a Broadway show called En Juliet, and it featured 90s music. And I was like, oh, that's why I'm being targeted. I'm watching this classic 90s show. So I bought 2 tickets for me and my wife for her birthday weekend. Then I asked Tiki, who's very cultured, most cultured guy here at WFAN. By the way, it's not even close. I don't even know who would be second. I think it's Tiki, 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 and then Tiki. And Tiki tells me, you're going to love this show. And I'm like, really? And everything you said to me about this show, En Juliet, you were spot on about.
Yep.
I promise you they're not paying me or Tiki. They are not an advertiser, though they should spend money on the radio station.
All of Broadway should.
They should.
I am a former Great White Way performer.
That's right. You performed in Kinky Boots.
That's correct.
That show was so badass because it was all 90s music, which is my jam. I'm 41 years old. Yeah, I grew up in the 90s.
It's right. You knew every song, every word almost, probably.
Every song?
Right.
And all I can do now is sing 90s music everywhere I walk. Hit me, baby, one more time. I did it my way. But tell me why. And the craziest thing, and you told me this on Friday, every word of every 90s song tells the story.
Right. It's the dialogue of the play.
It's amazing.
It's fascinating how they made it work.
Oh.
It's the most clever show I've ever seen.
I agree with you.
And I've seen a lot of Broadway shows. Some of them are just meaningful in different ways, like Les Mis and etc. I love the music and the story of the revolution and all that other stuff. But this one is so clever. It made me smile just thinking about how they made it work. And my kids loved it. I think Tegan saw this when she was 7 or 6 or 7. And we knew she was falling asleep because she falls asleep every time we go to a movie, every time we go to a Broadway show. We went and saw Hamilton. She was out by, I don't know, before George Washington was introduced, she was asleep. And so we're like, oh, she's going to fall asleep. But at least Brooklyn will enjoy it. Tegan was up the entire time.
And she loved it.
Like, engaged and loved it.
It is
so
a...
I knew that whoever sees it loves it.
Yes.
Especially if you're of the... You don't even have to be from that generation because Brooklyn and Tegan are not. But they know the music and they can... I don't know. It's just so relatable. It's awesome.
The 90s are like our parents' 60s.
Yes.
Like, they talked about the music, and the music is great. Like, it stands the test of time. We still listen to 60s music. I believe 90s music is like the 60s, where Britney Spears, NSYNC, they're basically the Beatles. I mean, it's kind of the same thing where the...
That's going to piss a lot of people
right,
off.
No. But you know what I mean? Like, it's catchy songs. You still, like, they played in ballparks. Put it that way. When you go to Citi Field or Yankee Stadium, they play NSYNC. They play the Backstreet Boys. That was 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 90s, that was the 60s, 30 right. years later. It was freaking tremendous. So thank you, Tiki Barber.
You're very welcome. And we actually had a caller that called and asked, what show should I see on Broadway? And that's the one, I don't know, man. You might have been out, but I remember that's the one I told him.
Oh, that's the show. You're right about that. So thank you very much. And yeah, and it was a good night. It was a very good night. And I give Tiki Barber and targeted ads while watching 90210 all the credit for
Evan,
that.
Evan, as someone who grew up in the 90s, what was that second song you sang?
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Then you said something
else. I did it my way.
Okay,
tell
okay.
Me no, why.
Okay, what is that second song? I did it my way?
Yeah, is that what it is?
You're trying to sing.
No, it's I want it
my way.
That way. It's not a Burger King.
You're right.
Or Frank Sinatra.
Right. Yeah. Or Bon Jovi, like Frankie said, I did it my way, which was 2000.
Oh, by the way, Bon Jovi song was in it. I didn't see that one coming. Which Bon Jovi song was in it?
I forget now. I saw it like 2 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're swerving on me.
What? I apologize. What a show. I love it. So I love 90s music. I've realized that I didn't appreciate 90s music when I was growing up because I've never been a music guy. Like, I've been honest. Like, I've listened to music. I don't know anything about it. But now in 2025, as a 41-year-old, I love going back and listening to that old 90s crap. That bubblegum crap is awesome.
What was the name of the show? I want to look up and say Les Miserables?
No, it's Les Miserables.
Les Miserables.
And Juliet.
Okay.
Like Romeo. Can I give something away or is spoilers not allowed? You tell me,
Tim. For Anne Juliet. You can give it away.
Romeo's not dead. we think he's dead, not actually dead.
Right.
Not actually dead.
William Shakespeare's wife now writing the show.
Yes.
As opposed to William Shakespeare writing the show.
Yes.
And this is how his wife would have written Romeo and Juliet.
That's right.
Dying.
And that's where they're singing, I did it my way, or I want it my way, because she's like, I want the show my way. And he's like, but tell me why, or something like that. I forgot. Anyhow, see the show. It's great. Let's go to Jane in New Jersey. How are you, Jane?
I'm good. I'll make it real quick. I'm not liking the new Yankee look with the facial hair and the beard. I don't know whose idea that was to me. You follow the captain's lead, and Aaron Judge is the captain. He's got a clean face, and that's what separated the Yankees from every other team. They had the clean shaven, the haircuts, short. I don't know why they're allowing this, but I think it looks terrible.
I think, Jane, they're allowing it because, and forget about the individual player. Forget about Devin Williams, who's not off to a great start. I think the Yankees realized that in free agency, you don't want to put any hurdles in front of you. And while at the end of the day, money will still be king and you are still the New York Yankees, why put an extra hurdle in front of you? And if you're telling somebody, hey, you can sign here, we're going to give you a lot of money, but oh, by the way, you got to shave a beard, and for whatever reason, that person really loves his beard, you've just put an extra hurdle in front of you. So I know that this is going to be something that some Yankee fans still hold on to, but I do think it was the best decision. Let's go to Chris in Bayshore. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hey, guys. How are you? A couple of things. Ev, I gotta get on you. I mean, I think the thing with Boone on Friday, I think a lot of teams do that a lot more than you think.
I've never seen it. Where they beg to lose a game? They basically beg umpires to stop a game so they could take an L? Come on.
No, I just think Boone is pretty convincing, and I think he had an agenda. I think he's trying to save his staff, and I think it makes sense for his team, and that's what he did.
I think that everything you say has some truth to it, right? Like, it benefits your bullpen. It benefits the, you know, concern about injury. Like, I get all that. I'm not arguing it. I'm still reminding you, though, the game isn't over, and they had 12 outs. And the beauty of baseball, for those that agree with me that it's the greatest sport ever invented, is that there is no clock. I know there's a pitch clock, but you know the difference.
Yes, I know what you mean. By the way, it was It's My Life.
It's My Life, yes. God, what a show. I'm not even a big Broadway show guy, but when I pick, like the last two Broadway shows I've gone to, Back to the Future and Juliet, and both of those, and the one before that, Hamilton.
Oh, like, dude, you've seen all the great ones.
And the one before that, are you ready?
Go ahead.
Book of Mormon.
I have not seen Book of Mormon.
Oh, dude, bro. Well, I'll tell you this. I saw Book of Mormon when it first came out. Josh Gad was playing the main part. So I don't know if it's still as good as it was when it first came out over a decade ago, but clearly I pick winners. I should be like a Broadway critic because I only go to the best, clearly.
You also did something a little low class.
What'd I do?
You whispered a big spoiler. Like you said, oh, spoilers okay?
I asked Tiki if it was okay.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time, it's subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're right. And in real time, I think if we took time to think about it, Evan, how would you have felt if somebody behind you at this play Friday night whispered to you,
the Mets.
It's 3-0 Mets.
I would have punched them in the face.
So you don't like spoilers, but then you have no problem spoiling something else because you're less concerned with
it. Yeah, but it's been out for a while now.
But you're dropping like a lot of bills to go to a Broadway show. Mets, it's free on TV. So you're spoiling.
Here's the difference. And I've never been one to do this. But when people go to Broadway shows, see, Tommy, no offense, because you know I love you. Very less cultured than Tiki and
I. I've been to a lot of Broadway shows, but I'll play along with your game.
Last Broadway show you've been to?
Wicked.
You went to see Wicked?
I did. I saw it several times. Fantastic.
Several times?
Big fan.
Wow, okay. See, I didn't see that's worth coming. Where Tommy's like a Broadway aficionado.
My wife dragged me to Cats, right. By the way.
I don't love that one.
I like it more than I lead
by the way,
on.
This has been on since 2019. This opened in Broadway in 2019.
Andrew Liette since 2019?
2019.
Yeah, so when people go to shows, Tommy, they like to read about it and they like to listen to the music. So I'm convinced that most people who are going to see the show, not like me or you, who are just like, hey, show me the show. Let's see what happens. They already know. They already know the music. But,
right. And it's not a cliffhanger. It's not like,
sure.
What happens? But you're going to enjoy it from start to finish, regardless if you know what happens.
I'm sure a lot of sports fans waiting online would say Mets are down 3-0. Hopefully they can tie the game up and they wouldn't punch somebody in the face like Evan said in a 162-game season.
I would be very upset. Put it that way. I'd be very upset. Now, luckily, the Mets were on the West Coast. So I was back safely in the hotel with my wife, hanging out, if you will, as the Mets game was starting. In your face. Because the show was over by 10:15. That was the other thing I liked about it. It was quick. You know, it wasn't too long. Let's go to John in the Bronx. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
What's up,
I'm a new listener of talk radio because of my sons. They're always talking back and forth. So... You guys won me over. Tiki, right. Evan,
appreciate you,
Sean,
man.
You guys are awesome.
Appreciate it.
But I have to give Evan, a little shout out with his argument Friday night with Boone trying to beg for the game to end. Listen, they get paid millions and millions of dollars. Let the game go, right?
Yeah, but
spending all the money.
It can't get dangerous though, because it felt like it was going to get dangerous.
Well, they started the game.
They had to, as Sean pointed out, because of the scheduling. There was no way, unless we're going to do the I-95 doubleheader.
Well, first of all,
in Philadelphia.
Teak, I disagree with you. They could have played a doubleheader on Saturday. They could have played a doubleheader on Sunday. Now, that's not good for the Yankee gate, and I understand that this is a business, but there were ways to can the game on Friday.
No, you're right, but they decided to start. Because, look, it wasn't bad. When we left here on Friday, it was barely raining. I think when I was walking to my car at 6:32 actually, I saw the first little drops. By the time I got home, it was raining. And so
it went from spitting to monsoon within an
exactly.
hour.
And so you had to play. It's just easier to play than not to.
I understand. So I have to address a controversy that really bothered me from Sunday's game. And I'm not sure how many people are aware of this. So let me set the stage for you. The New York Mets are facing the Athletics on Sunday afternoon. Juan Soto hits a ground ball to shortstop, and Jacob Wilson, the young shortstop who swings at everything, decided to field the baseball and then take his sweet-ass time before throwing to first base because Juan completely shut down and decided not to run the ball out. So that's what happened. Now, you could formulate your own opinions like, hey, Juan Soto cataleged it. I have a problem with that. But the Met broadcast had more of a problem with Jacob Wilson for taking his time and showing Juan Soto up. Instead of just describing what they thought, here's Gary Cohen and Ron Darling from yesterday's game describing the play and criticizing the young A's shortstop.
Fascinating play to end the inning. Looked like a rookie trying to show up a veteran.
It's a lot to unpack here. One, Soto wasn't running hard, and accentuated by Wilson holding the ball so long to make him run further down the line or step on it. That's a play you don't usually see from a rookie.
And then Wilson almost threw the ball away. He almost showed himself up.
Yeah.
So they describe it, but it's more about Jacob Wilson showing up Juan Soto than Juan Soto not running. Here's more from Gary Cohen and Ron Darling.
How do we feel about this?
I would not be happy if I were Soto, if I were the Mets. Now, if we're giving him the benefit of the doubt, did he get it stuck in his glove? It sure didn't look like it. It looked like he had a good grip on it.
So I want to make this very clear.
Why are they not giving any business to Juan Soto?
Yeah. Well, so my opinion on the subject, very briefly, is I do not mind that Juan Soto didn't run the ball out. Most guys don't. It's actually very rare to see guys bust it down the line. So I promise you at 3:12 on this Monday, I am not bashing Juan Soto for taking off on a play. I understand it. I don't love it. It doesn't cause me to lose sleep. Got that out of the way. But Tiki, you're 1,000% right. If there's something to talk about from that play, it is not a young shortstop taking his time. It's the fact that Juan Soto shut it down.
Right.
Like, Jacob Wilson taking his time throwing the ball to first base to quote-unquote show up Juan Soto, the only reason he could even do that is because Juan Soto didn't run. So I'm not mad at Juan Soto. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it now.
It's one play out of 100 that he's going to make this year.
And I understand why a lot of ball players don't run out every ground ball. They don't want to pop a hamstring. They don't want to get hurt. Do I love it? No. Mike Piazza used to run every ground ball out. There are star players who did it, but most didn't. Most didn't. I'll tell you a little secret. This is very unpopular to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. David Wright didn't run every ground ball out. That's the truth. Now, I love David. David's awesome. David's my man. It didn't really piss me off that much, unless it's the ninth inning late in the game. But how do you, as the broadcast team, make this a Jacob Wilson issue and not a Soto issue?
That was a super homer edition of let's find a controversy in this play. It looks bad from both sides, but let's find a controversy, but we're not going to mention our guy. That's completely what it was. I guess you don't. It's a blip. It won't matter unless Juan Soto does this more frequently, which I doubt that he will. Not everybody can be Brandon Nimmo.
Well, and that's true. And I think Nimmo is almost unique in that regard. Mm-hmm. But Jacob Wilson didn't do anything wrong. He fielded a ground ball. He saw that the runner, was not running and said, oh, I could take my time. Mm-hmm. Now, did it show Juan Soto up a little bit? It kind of did. But that's not his problem.
By the way, that's a good thing.
Because it embarrassed Soto enough to maybe the next time run hard?
100%.
Maybe.
I have to get down the line because he's not going to throw the ball until I start running to get down the line.
Right.
So it's kind of like, I don't mind a rookie, especially if the vet's not doing the right thing, calling him out. I don't mind that from rookies.
Yeah, I don't. Well, even though rookies suck.
Yeah.
And rookies are stupid.
And they all suck.
Right.
But if the vet's doing the wrong thing, by all means, get called out.
I also don't know if he was calling him out. I think it may have just been, there's a ground ball and I've got a lot of time. And there's a guy running who's not fast. He's not running hard. I'm not going to rush it over.
And that's rookies are dumb.
That's important, Evan, because, yes, while the throw ended up being erratic, in theory, if you see a guy not busting it down the line, you have a higher probability of things going awry because you're rushing a throw over. So if you take your time because you know you every time, that's right. Not showing it up. That's making it smart play.
Tiki, I think you hit it right on the head. And I rarely say this about SNY and Gary and Ron and Keith because they call it like it is. And I want to give Ron a little bit of credit because he did mention, hey, Soto wasn't running. Mm-hmm. So he did mention it. But the fact that the story of that play was turned into the rookie showing up Soto, and boy, if I'm the Mets, I'd be pissed, to me, is homerific.
Rookie right. Suck.
I mean, come on. I'm watching the game. And again, I'm not mad that Soto wasn't running it out. And I think I'm mostly not mad because I just know that's the way it is.
Right. It's just it's one game. You've seen it happen one time so far this year.
Like, In an ideal world, would I love to see every single person run out of ground ball to third base or ground ball to shortstop? Of course. But I'm also not naive enough to think or to even bitch about it because it's so uncommon. Like, the reason I cited Piazza earlier is because Piazza was unique. I got to hand it to him. He was one of the very few stars I ever watched on an everyday basis who ran every ball out. Mm. And it's crazy that he did that because he was a catcher.
Yeah.
He was banged up. Mike Piazza had more reasons than David Wright or Carlos Beltran or Juan Soto or anybody else to say, hey, I'm going to take off. It's the seventh inning. Like, come on. I just got beat up behind the plate.
Right.
And he never did. And so for that, I say kudos, Mike Piazza. Thank you, sir.
Well, that's why he's loved. It's one of the reasons that everybody appreciates his career.
But it doesn't keep because you from being loved because other guys didn't run hard.
No, I hear you, but it's just one of those things. Hey, you know, back then I saw Mike Piazza. He always ran it out. Always did.
Absolutely.
No matter what the circumstances. And so that's just, it's a little thing, but it's a lasting thing.
It's a lasting
especially
thing.
Especially if you remember and recognize it.
But it also, to be fair, doesn't bother me. Like, I said about 2 minutes ago, David Wright usually didn't run the ball out. I don't say that in any kind of malicious way. I love David. It didn't even bother me. I'm just calling it like it is. Carlos Beltran, the same thing, the other guy I loved. I don't think he ran it out all the time. Do you think Aaron Judge runs it out all the time, Sean?
No, but he also does it in a way. So I think he's so big and lumbering that you can't really tell when he's not.
It's also not obvious.
Yeah,
like Soto did make it very obvious when he shut down.
I'll tell you else was obvious.
Anybody what, that Ben Rice has more better stats than one Soto?
No. The fact that Evan the Met Coward did this at 3:15, not 4:15. Now, why is that, Evan?
You want me to repeat it at 4:15?
I mean, look.
Never call me out about giving a rat's ass about SNY.
Like, no, I think you're scared that Keith's going to knock on the door and take away that scorecard.
Now you've changed the show. I'll do it just to prove you fat ass wrong. I apologize. I'm going to have to repeat myself at 4:15 just to prove Sean wrong.
You don't want Keith taking the card back. It's okay.
Keith Hernandez wasn't involved in this.
I understand that. But that's his teammate and Gary.
No, Evan doesn't care about that. He would go to Steve Cohen's house and yell at him.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about stuff like that.
Yeah, speaking of going to people.
Oh, notice that? Knicks tickets coming soon. Tommy rushing to Evans defense.
Well, I think you made a claim there that you challenge his credibility, which I think is out of
the
line.
That actually does bother me. And now you're forcing me to have to change when we talk about on the show just to prove you wrong. Plus, Tommy also knows something else, and we haven't addressed this yet.
I do.
He knows. He doesn't know what happened, but he knows that yesterday I did something, and I'm so curious how Tiki would have reacted to it if I did it to him. I went right up to Josh Hart, man to man. And I looked into his eyes, beautiful eyes, by the way.
And
I said, Josh, I hate your guts. That was number one.
Wow.
And number two, I said.
And he didn't punch you?
I did not. Are you finally going to come clean that you bullied Mikal Bridges to leave the Nets and join the Knicks? And it was a proud moment because so many times listeners are like, you guys are so fake tough. Why don't you say it to somebody's face? I did.
And what did he say?
I will reveal that coming up shortly. But before I do, if I had gone to you, and I'm trying to think of the equivalent with you, Teak. If I had gone into the room, and you probably, Josh Hart doesn't know who I am, in fairness. I don't think he's listening to Sports Talk Radio. I don't think he's watching SNY between 4 and 6. So, no, I don't think he knew who I was. So, if I went up to you as a non-knowing person, but a talk show host, and said, I hate your guts. I'm a Jet fan.
And you bullied Kerry Collins. That would be the one.
Yeah, so how would you have responded?
I would have said, if I had actually done it, I would have said, you're right.
You would have come clean about
it. I'm glad you would appreciate my tact.
So you would have smiled.
My skill. Of course, I would have smiled.
You would not
smile at everything.
That's true. You would not have punched me in the face.
No.
Okay. That's good to know. I'll give you the answer.
I don't think I've ever punched anybody in the face.
Ever?
I think ever.
Even in like elementary school? No. Someone trying to take your lunch money?
No.
That's I don't think I've ever punched anybody.
That's what Tiki's like, no one ever tried to take my
punch. I punched my brother in the stomach.
Ah.
But that was it.
That's it? Yeah. Never, no punch in the face?
No.
I've never punched anyone in the face either. That may be very surprising. Though after Sean questioned my credibility, I was thinking about punching him in the face.
Or cool. If somebody spoils a July Met game for Evan while he's online for Miss Saigon.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I'd punch you in the face.
By the way, another fantastic
show. Saw that one when I was younger. Did but I'm not cultured yet.
Tommy is out to prove this he's not cultured thing.
That's watch a great one.
But you know what the difference is? Watch this between me and you. I think you proved me wrong, Tommy. I think you are much more cultured than I thought. Mm-hmm. So my apologies.
I will say this. I was too young for it. It was like a family event, and I was a little too young to grasp what was going on in Miss Saigon.
It's deep.
But then we went to see the producers right after that, and I could grasp
it. Oh, my God. Look at this guy. He saw every Broadway show.
What's your favorite of all time, then?
Honestly, I'm a Wicked guy. Saw it a couple Wicked. Times.
Wow.
That's my favorite.
All right. Yeah. Did you see the movie yet?
I have not. It's on Peacock, right?
It's on the Peacock, yes.
Peacock.
Yes.
So I will, you know what's weird? I know it got really good reviews, and I hate being snobby because I hate those people like, the book is better than the movie, but I love the play so much. Everyone says the movie's awesome, but I don't want it to like...
ruin it, yeah.
Yeah, but everybody says the movie's awesome, so I'll check it out.
Here's the thing. So my favorite has always been Les Mis. The movie was bad. Like, it just didn't live up to the Broadway show.
But it doesn't ruin your view of the Broadway show.
No, it doesn't, but it doesn't matter. It just wasn't what I expected. And it was a good cast.
Yeah. That's usually the case, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Evan. Hey, Pete.
What's up,
Evan,
dude?
I have a pretty strong opinion about that Soto play.
Go ahead.
Hear me out for a sec.
Yeah.
First off, I think that rookie shortstop or whatever, he did us a big favor. Let me tell you why.
Go.
He absolutely did that on purpose. It was, and I don't blame him for doing it. You know, he double pumped. He walked a couple feet. Obviously, almost threw the ball away, but he almost screwed himself over. But he definitely was sending a message. If you look at his reaction later on in the game, Soto hits a line drive that he snared. He looked at Soto. Now, here's the thing that I have to say about this. This is the kind of thing, like, as a Met fan, loving this season, the vibe, this is a warning because this cannot snowball. And thank God that happened on the road. Now, everyone got up in arms about Vientos not running, and there needs to be one standard. And obviously, Soto is frustrated, but the one thing that fans will not ever tolerate is effort.
Yeah.
And I just don't want this to become the narrative. I just hope that it's a warning and everyone goes, that's not a good path to go down, because I just want the season to be about.
Well, the real thing, the real thing though,
I like that though, Chris. I like that point. And it's an important one to make. And somebody should make it to the entire squad. Effort is, it costs you nothing. It's the easiest thing. Takes no talent. Effort matters.
Well, it does. And especially when it turns into a play that could change the game.
Right.
In the case of Vientos, and it happened multiple times, one with a ball he didn't ground out, one with him kind of losing his head on a foul ball, mm-hmm. on a chopper, like, it could greatly affect you. But the reality is, if Juan Soto isn't hitting 250 with only four RBIs 15 games into the year, it'll be easier to not be annoyed by it. Like, Juan Soto hasn't hit yet. Now, the positive is he hasn't hit, and the Mets are 10-5.
Yep.
And that's the thing I enjoy the most, that Juan Soto has not clicked. Juan Soto, I said this to you on Friday, I can say the same thing here on Monday, is still looking for his first hit with runners in scoring position.
Right.
He hasn't gotten one yet.
Has he been on? Did his on-base streak, did he lose that or keep it?
No, he lost it, but he's still drawing a crap ton of walks.
I know, I'm saying he's not hitting.
He took
well.
An 0-4 in the final game against the Marlins.
With no walks.
Yes.
Got it.
So there has been a game he hasn't gotten on base, but he's still drawing a lot of walks. He has a .410 on base percentage, which is great, but he hasn't hit yet. And I'm not concerned about it. And I think what makes it good for him and easier for him is that they're winning. And we talked a few weeks ago about, hey, when would Met fans turn on Juan Soto? When would they boo him? Because honestly, Met and Yankee fans, we've booed everybody.
Yeah,
like, who hasn't been booed?
True, but Met fans may boo Juan Soto at some point. It will not be this year. And I know Yankee fans want to boo Juan Soto.
Oh, here we go.
But Yankee fans absolutely should not. So come the Subway Series in Yankee Stadium. This is coming up relatively soon.
One month
from this weekend, right? Do not boo Juan Soto. Instead, stand up, face the back of the stadium, and say nothing.
I don't like what you did there. I don't like what you did.
I hijacked your point. And I am happy to hijack it.
He hijacked.
I did it without even a weapon.
I know. Just took it from me.
Just took it.
He's like, screw whatever you're saying about Juan Soto and the Mets and Met fans booing him. I'm going to bring this back to how Yankee fans should act next month. Meanwhile, Sean pointed this out. I give him credit. I did not notice this. But during one of the innings yesterday, coming out of break on the Yes Network, they showed a Yankee fan for a good 10 to 20 seconds.
Come on, Yes Network.
Wearing a bleep Juan Soto t-shirt.
Don't listen to the Yes Network. Listen to me
now,
and Sean.
To defend the Yes Network, they didn't acknowledge it, but they didn't take the camera off.
Well, that's acknowledging it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're telling me they didn't notice?
And it's coming out of a break.
Yeah. So, there was three fans standing there, one of them drinking a beer, and he had the shirt.
That's not accidental. Like, let's just pan and I'll find it. This is a camera person finding that shirt.
Well, there's
the director saying, hold it, hold it, hold it. All right, we're live. 3, 2, 1, show it.
Well, here's what's going on. There's a war going on between Tiki Barber and the Yes Network. Yeah. The Yes Network is pushing the narrative of bleep Juan Soto boom, and Tiki is continuing to push back that on that return date, about a month from now, stand up, turn around, and do nothing.
Do nothing. Stand in silence. Ignore him. Because apathy is the opposite of love.
Well said. You should make a t-shirt. More of your calls coming up at 888.
Yes.
Wow.
Hate you care.
I don't know what apathy means. That's why.
You don't know what apathy means?
You're apathetic. You don't care.
Oh, I've heard apathetic. Yeah. Okay.
Same thing.
Yeah. It's the way most...
Not caring.
It basically describes most Net fans watching the basketball season this year. We didn't care. We're just so happy it's over.
You'll see. You got girls. So at some point, you're going to be screaming at one of your kids, and they are literally just going to look at you with blind eyes and walk away.
Mm.
And they're going to be like, and you're going to be like, don't you dare walk away from me.
Don't tell me that.
I'm telling that's going to happen.
More of your calls coming up. Plus, we have a very special impromptu Masters edition of Posted and Toasted. And your phone calls, 888-808-1019. And, of course, a lot more to get to, and we'll talk to you at 888-808-1019. But if you listen to our show on Tuesdays right around this time, we play a game called Posted and Toasted, where we read old tweets of our fellow FAN coworkers. On this Monday, we have a very special impromptu edition of Posted and Toasted. And it's very special. I'm going to read like a million tweets in a row. They all come from the same FAN coworker. Okay? Here we go. April 13th, 2013. About to enjoy my Saturday not watching the Masters. April 10th, 2014. I can think of 40 things I'd rather watch this weekend, including SpongeBob reruns, than the Masters. Let's go to April 5th, 2014. The most boring yet hyped sporting event of the year begins Thursday, the Masters. Unless Paulina Gretzky is there playing, it's a snooze fest. January 13th, 2013. Speaking of naps, there was just a commercial promoting the Masters. April 14th, 2013. I'm legitimately giving Masters Sunday a shot, and I'm dozing off. I give diehard golf fans credit. The quietness of this is a tough watch. April 9th, 2015. Is the Masters still on around 11 p.m.? I could use some help falling asleep tonight.
Wow, this is like real hate.
April 10th, 2011. Slept all day. I think it's because the Masters were on. Hashtag Z. April 2nd, 2013. I don't think it's possible I could care less about an American sporting event than I do the Masters. And then finally, April 6th, 2018. Jersey Shore. Better than the Masters. Mm. So, in this impromptu edition of Posted and Toasted, who tweeted all of those things? Was it A, Evan Roberts, B, Sal Licata, C, Sean Morash, or D, Tiki Barber?
It wasn't me, because I don't tweet nearly that much. Mm-hmm. So, you can exclude me.
Yeah.
I don't think you're that mean.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think Sean cares. He's doing other things.
So you think it's Sal?
I'm going to say that it's you.
Saying it's me.
Yes.
You're wrong.
It is not me. No. The answer we were looking for is Sean Morash.
Really, Sean?
That is?
Why do you hate the Masters so much?
Well, first of all, Tiki, let me just take you back to a point in time we both were in. National radio. Brutal having to talk about that for a week into the Masters.
You first tweet about this was 2011. You were not working, I think, even in radio at that point.
I was behind the scenes here. Probably not used to it. I'll be honest with you, too. I used to be bored to death when Mike used to do it, too. It just was something that never interested me. I've tried to engage, and as I get older and even started to play golf, but I'll be honest with you, even yesterday with all the drama.
Even yesterday, because that was where I was going with this. Obviously, yesterday, Rory McIlroy completed his masterpiece, as Jim Nantz pre-rehearsed said. Yeah. That didn't excite you? You weren't all pumped up about Rory finishing his story?
Masterpiece, meaning, for those that don't know, he finished the career.
Grand Slam.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I had money invested.
Took him a long time.
And that piqued my interest. Mm-hmm. But even then, it's just, like, can we all just be real? If you love golf and watching golf, that's great. If you don't love watching golf, you understand what I'm saying. Eat the quietness, the hoity-toityness. The Masters overall sucks. For the majority of Americans, it sucks.
Wow.
It's only bad because most Americans don't know the players well enough.
Yeah.
And so there's no vested in. You don't care.
Right.
And
but yesterday you did. You knew who Rory was. You knew who the guy Justin Rose was. You know
but
these
not,
guys.
Not like Tiger and Phil.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not like Tiger. Now, if Scheffler was making a run, he's starting to build that way. And he was all right yesterday.
So you were bored yesterday. Just that's the point.
Yeah. Did I finish? And did I get to the playoff? Yeah. Was I screaming at the TV as my kids are dying for me to give them a bath? As Justin Rose tries to size up a playoff putt, it takes him 50 minutes to figure out which way. Oh, let me bend on one knee here. Let me look at him bend on one knee here.
And then he missed it.
And then he missed it anyway? Mm. Yes. Overall, golf at its best yesterday with the drama is still boring. Now, how is that possible? If your best, most drama-filled event still leaves you going, can we just get this thing over with? Hmm. Then what does that say about the sport? It's boring.
Now dig up Sean's tweets where he calls the combine exciting, which is a bunch of guys running around in their underwear around cones, or the NFL draft, how that's exciting back in the day when they used to take 35 minutes in between picks. See, my guess is that everybody is excited by the Masters, and that's why Sean hates it. But for me, I love it. I love the drama. I love the setup. Much like baseball, it gives you a chance to breathe in between shots. It builds up the drama, the bogeys, the double bogeys, and the history and the tradition of winning a golf tournament. And probably like any other sport, it's a sport we can relate to because we all think we're good golfers. So we can marvel at the beauty of just how great these guys are. And when they do hit a bad shot like we do, like Oberg on 18 yesterday in the final round, he looked like me out there. He's basically hitting the ball and ping-ponging it on the greens. It's amazing. It's great drama. To me, yesterday at the Masters was the best sporting event so far of this year. And it's going to be tough to top by any of the other sports. As far as drama, excitement, and everything. Emotion, the whole deal. Tradition, history.
Wow.
Somebody letting Tommy know Duke collapsed in the Final Four. I mean, my God.
Okay.
Well, you just called it the best sporting event of the year.
I thought yesterday was better than the Duke collapse.
Oh, my God. Can you believe that?
The Duke collapse was really the last, like, 30 seconds. So it was really only about which you're used to. So, I mean, 30 seconds.
So let's
to me is not worth. When you have 8 hours of that kind of drama, plus the beauty, the weather, the azaleas, all the you know.
It's azaleas.
The cabins, azaleas, whatever you call
just
it.
Also
the flowers,
hit,
the beautiful.
You just also hit on something else. Yesterday, when you have 8 hours of that drama, it's too many hours of drama.
Mm.
8 hours on a Sunday. You know how many things I have my kids out for a bike? I'm coming in and out of here. You know, 14th home, stepping out and back for the 50th. They're only on the 15th. It takes forever.
You have to appreciate golf in order to feel the majesty of the Masters.
And look, and I appreciated yesterday when Rory McIlroy hit the ball out of the bunker and it made that nice curve or that long drive on whatever that was, 16, 17. That's great. There's appreciation. I appreciate a good turkey on Thanksgiving. But doesn't mean the dinner can't be boring.
You know what, though, too? I hate to say it, and this is, but Sean, is, bad football is boring, too. We just don't call it bad because we have a lot of money on it. We have fantasy on it. But football is boring at this point.
But
there's a lot of times I'm sitting there going, boy, this game sucks. But because we got juice on it.
Tommy, every sport to a degree has a level of boredom depending on the event game to game. But when the sport is at its highest peak and yesterday gave you a playoff hole in drama and it's still boring, that's a problem.
What did you find?
I think you're using the wrong word. Boring is not what I would call it. If you're not interested, it's one thing. You just got to find a better word for boring because it wasn't. Rory's drama was real. He had it won. All he had to do was par the last two holes.
You didn't find him choking, like, and exciting, and then rallying?
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened.
Did
you find that exciting?
Yesterday was the most intrigued I've been on Masters Sunday to the point it stayed on my TV in and out all day. So I'll give you that. There was a level of intrigue.
But I don't think it was boring. I don't think it's ever really boring.
I think it's the result of the or the product of the sport. To me, I'm a crowd noise guy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's just, a gentleman's game. Sean wants a guy scratching his ass in the third row and throwing a beer can and eating a hot dog. He doesn't like the hoity-toityness of it.
I want booing. I want cheering. I don't want ooh ah. And
which there's tons of cheering, by the way. Tons of cheer.
After, I don't know. It's just not for me. It's not for me, and I love playing. I think it stinks.
Well,
I think if that's the best the sport is to offer, it stinks.
The last thing you said, you love playing? You play golf?
Yeah, I'm not very good.
How often do you play?
Now, probably four times a summer.
Oh, really? Okay. Because my kind of belief on golf has always been this, Teague. Those who play it, and you can just notice it here at the radio station, like Joe never liked golf, never talked about golf till he started playing, and then he got into golf. I think Gio is the same way. Like, once you start playing it, you have a new appreciation for it.
Yeah, you appreciate how hard it is.
Absolutely.
And what clubs they're using where, like, all that stuff.
And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. That's always how I've interpreted it, and I've never gotten into it. I've literally played golf, you ready? Three times in my entire life.
Wow.
I can name all three times. I don't think the people I played with actually remember that I played with them. In fact, one of the people I played with currently works on air at this radio station, and if you asked him, no way he remembers. No way. And that person is Sal Licata. There's no way he remembers that. But I remember it. It was like 2008, and it was a golf course in Queens. And it was, like, the company was fine. Like, Sal's fun. Monzo, who was there.
Carlos Mendoza!
But I hated it. I was like, I'm so bored. All I want to do is drive the golf cart. So I never got into it, which I think is what holds me back from being a fan. So I'm not as presumptuous as Sean to say it's boring. I don't think I can appreciate it the way you can, Tommy, who plays, the way Brandon can, who plays, the way Boomer and Gio can because they play, the way Joe Bean can absolutely appreciate. He loves that crap because he plays. And I think that the line of demarcation when it comes to golf and enjoying a major like this, I really think comes down to who plays and who doesn't. I really do think it's as simple as that. And if you're someone like me still on the sidelines, you may watch it out of curiosity and respect it, which I did, without getting it. But when you play, you get it, and you just love it. You relate to it, even though I don't understand that at all, Tiki. How the hell anyone can relate to a professional? That's like me saying...
because they do stuff that no average person can do.
You know what that's like me saying? I can relate to Kodai Senga 7 scoreless yesterday because I pitched in Twitter baseball, and I do once pitch 7 score. Now, I want to make this clear. I'm being ridiculous when I say that.
Yeah.
I know that's ridiculous. That's how I view like relating yourself to freaking, you know, Rory McIlroy.
I think your challenge, Sean, might be that you don't care about any particular player.
I think that's fair, because at least when I sit down and I watch team sports, right, I have a rooting interest for my own team or how it relates to...
Yes.
Yeah, I think there's also, Tiki, I don't think golf is alone in this. This is how, to a lesser extent, I feel about tennis, auto racing. The one-on-one nature of, like, a singular person, it's very hard for me to be like, I'm a fan of that.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The better... It's easier to watch team sports than it is individual sports because you might not care about whoever's winning. Like if you don't, if you're not an uber fan of Rory or Noah Story or care about a story or Aberg or Justin Rose or Bryson DeChambeau, even though everybody knows who he is because of how crazy and jacked up he got. It's like you're just watching people play golf,
which is what I was doing. Yes, and it was so basically I'm just watching people play.
And you're watching people play golf. That is boring. Yeah. Go to any country club anywhere and just watch random people, because that's how some people watch the PGA Tour, and you're just like, it's not interesting. I don't know who these people are.
Right.
But if you know who they are and you know what's at stake for them, particularly Rory yesterday, trying to get the Grand Slam, then it just becomes a little bit compelling, especially when he choked.
Or if you play the game like once or twice a week, and even though I find it weird that you can relate to it, you relate to it. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's like, because you just said that, Tommy, in fairness. You're like, oh, that reminds me of me. And I don't understand how that could be possible, but sure.
I did say that, but I also think there are different levels of this. Like, my wife will be like, oh, you watch sports? I'm like, yeah, I love sports. She goes, and then you like watching people talk about sports? I go, yeah, not everybody likes sports talk radio or watching people talk about it, but they love sports. So you don't necessarily have to be a golfer per se to love watching golf, but I will say that it has everything we love about sports. It has drama, it has human emotion, it has people you could root for, it has the wins, the losses, it has everything we love about sports. okay, so they take a little bit of time in between shots. I just brought up baseball. They had to institute a pitch clock, so Tiki wouldn't leave in the sixth inning.
No, but you know what the difference is, in fairness?
No, the baseball, without the pitch clock, I was leaving in the third inning.
<That's> right.
the baseball game ends after 3 hours, even a long game, 3.5 hours. If you're sitting there and you're watching every hole of the Masters, that's like 24 hours,
but
right?
Shouldn't you, as a husband or a father, love that? Because then you get 8 hours on the couch where you could have,
No, but he really liked it. Do you really want that?
See, I'm glad he stepped right into it. On Championship Sunday, when we have the AFC and NFC Championship games, it is hard to leave your seat of the couch and go do anything. On Masters Sunday, you get up and go, you know what, I'm going to take the dogs for a walk for 15 minutes. You could easily do that and leave your couch. So how could you tell me it's riveting if we could get up and down from the couch a million times throughout Masters Sunday?
We are coming off the most boring football season I've ever experienced. It was boring. Let's go like it is. The games are bad. The product was bad. But we love it for the reasons I laid out. Fantasy, gambling, and we just love football. It was boring. There were a lot of boring, bad games. So you want to use that football's exciting edge of your seat. Is it anymore?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it is.
No. Every single game primetime games are terrible.
Every game, of course, and every game has never always been exciting or entertaining. But even, like, the ugly games. I remember having this argument. Remember the Bears and the Commanders played, like, a Thursday night game, and it was, like, 10-9 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember coming in the next day saying, I know everyone's crapping on the game, but it was close, and I was into it. Like, even if it was ugly, even if it was an ugly game, I still find it entertaining. So I disagree with you. Like, even the worst of the NFL, to me, at least just for me, I'm one guy, still drags me
because
in.
Because the action is just, it's intense.
Yeah.
And it's very physical. And you kind of, if you follow any kind of football, you know who the people are.
Right.
It's almost impossible not to know who the talents are.
I do have to commend Sean, like, to go back 15 years and see such a level of consistency in hating the Masters.
That is pretty spot on.
It's incredible.
He must have someone in his life that loves golf, and that's his way.
No. Or he just feels that way, Tommy. There doesn't have to be a reason.
Or his wife appreciates that on this particular Sunday or weekend in total, she gets him.
Yeah. There doesn't have to be a reason. He's tweeting it. It's one thing to feel it, but to tweet about it for 15 years.
Yeah, he feels that way. He feels strongly every April. This sucks.
I also want to make it clear, I didn't grow up like me and my dad sitting on the couch on Master's Sunday. He could care less, too.
Yeah.
So I think that's also part of it. If you have it kind of passed on.
It's like my dad's fault. My dad hates golf. He talks about how boring it is all the time.
But I think for a lot of us, we grew up like, the reason we root for some of the teams were whoever our parents like.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. I think that's true. John is in Bayonne. Hey, John.
Hello, guys. I feel bad because, you know what, though? I thought golf was boring 25 years ago until I played, and the first course I played was Sawgrass, TPC.
Oh, well, look at you.
and Teak, I hit a shot. I thought out of the rough, but I ended up on my back looking at the sky. That's how thick the rough was. it's a sport that you get out there, and you could be the horrible player in the world, and guess what? You could get that hole in one, or you could get that eagle, you could get that. It's such a challenging game, and it's a mind game.
But John,
it's more of that.
He also just proved my point, which is there is a line of demarcation between people that love watching golf and don't love watching golf, and it's the people who play it versus the people who don't. And I think we just need to take a step back and acknowledge that. Like, I can't get into golf. I don't think I ever will now. I think I'm done. I don't think it's ever going to happen. And so for that reason...
But when did Joe get into it?
Joe got it. In fairness, Joe was older than even I am now.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, you know why I'm not going to get into it? Because I've tried. Because when I went golfing back in 2008 in Queens, I tried. When I went golfing with Beningo in Arizona before the Super Bowl, I tried. When I went golfing in 2014 somewhere else, I tried. And all I could think about... And I apologize because I know this offends a lot of people, but I'm just telling it like it is.
Yeah.
All I could think about while I was out there is how much more fun mini golf is. That's all I could think about.
mini golf is fun.
Give me the clown mouth. Give me the windmill. Mm. Give me the bridges. And give me the 18 holes that take 25 minutes, and then I'm done.
And with a little Applebee's
there. And away we go. Here's the real thing with Evan, though. I now get it.
Go ahead.
It's a social sport.
Yeah, and I'm not social.
And you're in the sun.
Yes, exactly.
Two things I
hate. You bake in the sun, and you're doing it in large part, as long as you're not a professional, to like socialize with the three other people in your
gentleman's game.
It's a gentleman's game, brandy. Having conversation, having a little lunch, having a couple drinks on the court. Like it's a social thing.
No, you're right.
And you're like, yeah, whatever.
No.
I could do without the socialization.
My socialization is going to be on Thursday night when I take you guys to Mets Cardinals. That's my socialization on a Thursday night until Tiki ditches me to go into a club. So we'll have like three innings of socialization before he's like, all right, I'm out.
When I knock on the door, Cadillac Club, please answer.
Coming up, Mikal Bridges extended his streak, but we all know it's Fugazi. Plus, my experience in the Knicks locker room. And we'll get back to your phone calls at 888-808-1019.